It's Mother's Day, and the mystery question that's on the heart of every child is what to get mom. So, to help solve that mystery once and for all, I want to direct your attention to two moms that finally clarify that for us. So go ahead, give her a hug if she's here right now. I think she'll take the spa later. Oh my, oh my. I love it. Well, it's Mother's Day. And if you were assigned an essay with my title this morning, I'm curious, my title, if you haven't looked at it, is Why We Need Moms, or Why We Need Mothers. Well, I'm just sort of curious, what would you write? If you were given a high school, middle school, grade school assignment, Why We Need Moms, what would you write? Anybody want to take a stab just out loud, be bold? Then you don't have to read the whole thing, but you know.
Healing kisses.
Healing kisses. I'm sorry?
Nurturing.
She saw my notes. That concludes my message this morning, pretty much.
We wouldn't be here without Mom.
For the practical-minded among us, it's true, we wouldn't be here without Mom.
Guidance.
Yeah. Why we need moms. Can you say spa day for that guy right there? I think that's the That sounded big. What was that? Someone who believes in you. That's very good. Yeah. All of these are good.
Discipline.
Ooh, discipline, yeah. Yeah, they're there for us no matter what, thick and thin. Want to know why I would write? Here's, in fact, what I wrote. We need moms because the world is not nice. In fact, it's downright mean. So whether it's an early memory of mean, or you are living through mean right now, something happening to you, who's your go-to person with skin on? Sure. Now, let me be fair to we dads in the room. It's not that dads don't have what it takes. It's just that we tend to do kind of a triage, a quick triage, and call it good. Child comes up, has an owie or some deeper owie in their teen years or whatever it happens to be, and we kind of check it out and we assess it quickly and draw a conclusion. Yeah, well, you know, it's hard. It's we try to throw some sympathy and some compassion that direction, but in the end, in our minds, we kind of make a quick conclusion. It's not terminal, and you will survive. You'll be good as new in no time. And that's how dads might do it. Now, what's wrong with that approach? Nothing if you're a dad, right? It's fine. It's why dads show up and are part of the action. But it's totally lacking in something that I want to highlight this morning in moms. What's that? It was said earlier, nurturing. Mom's answer to not nice. I've done a little digging and discovered that nurturing is a pretty colorful word. This fascinated me, and I want to kind of pass it along to you moms this morning. According to the dictionary, nurturing is to nourish, educate, and help develop or grow. So nurturing's colorful. It's got a lot going on. To nourish, to educate, and to develop or help grow. It's a mother's primary calling and role in the lives of her kids. Nurturing is done by a mom because moms do it best, and it happens to be what your child needs most from you. One of my favorite parenting manuals is a very practical guide to parenting called Losing Control and Liking It by Tim Sanford. He's a counselor, does a lot of work with families for focus on the family. And he's wrote a tremendous little book that's helpful whether you're just starting out or about to start out or looking back and maybe wanting to help guide some young mothers or parents in this art of parenting. How do you do that? Tim Sanford has some really great things. He had this to say about a mom's role when it comes to nurture. A nurturing mom goes beyond being the maintenance person in a person's life, a child's life. She doesn't just keep a child clean, fed, warm, and dry. She also helps enable her children to develop fully by, I like this, pouring life into them. Still quoting, she models joy and passion. Nurturing is filling your child up with aliveness. Now listen to some more detail. It's not a joyless, self-sacrificing caricature of Betty Crocker. A nurturing mom takes time to play and read and take pictures. When the toddler's spaghetti ends up in the hair instead of in the mouth, she enters the child's world to see things from his or her perspective, even if it means the carpets don't get vacuumed for a while. She provides empathetic understanding from a position of strength and support, and that's true whether she's dealing with a toddler or a teen, except for the part about the spaghetti and the hair, right? Now, not surprisingly, the Bible understands a mom's role in similar terms. My Bible's open to a wonderful chapter I want to show you this morning in Proverbs. It's the last chapter of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. This picture is presented. And it offers, I want to suggest to you that it's really a passage of praise today for ladies in general, women in general, and for moms in particular. Proverbs 31, page 471, if you're reaching for a Bible near you. This woman gets the good housekeeping seal of approval from her husband, her children, and her God. Okay? Now, she gets it because her people are not neglected. Instead, they're nurtured. In this grand chapter of the Bible that extols the virtues of a godly woman, the core calling of a virtuous woman is to care for her family. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Just pick up with me and let's just browse through. Verse 10 is where it begins. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Wouldn't that be nice, moms? I don't know if that's ancient speak for children. I don't think so. But wouldn't it be an interesting asset to have servant girls? But verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed properly with scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen herself in purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Near the end of this very impressive list of skills that we've just looked at, the skills used to attend to her husband and to her children and their needs, there is a statement that is made, a statement of praise offered. I stop short of reading it to set it up so that you appreciate it more. It's a statement of praise offered by her children and by her husband. Okay? What is that? Verse 28 is the statement of praise. Her children arise and call her blessed. Blessed. Her husband also calls her blessed and praises her with a peek into what he says, with a kind of an ear for what he has to say in praise. Verse 29, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's the kind of stuff, the praise offered by her husband and by her children. Why? Well, we're told in verse 27. I skipped it for a reason. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't, let me put it in words that I'm using this morning, she doesn't neglect her family. But instead, in contrast, she nurtures her people. remember to be nurtured by a mom, the definition I gave at the start, is to be nourished, to be educated, and to be grown up. Most moms I've talked with over the years will report that this, reading this chapter that I've chosen this morning, comes with a certain intimidation factor. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just thinking, wow, how can I possibly do that? Trying to be all these things. Some feel this morning, maybe, immediate guilt. Because you're looking back at years or decades and saying, oh, strike one, strike two. No, that's not me. I didn't, the guilt that comes from failure, for having not been enough. And let me ask the question while we're thinking in those terms. How much is enough anyway? Fair question, I think. And I think the answer is that it varies from child to child. How much is it enough for a mom to be in a child's life? Well, I think it differs from firstborn to secondborn to third, or however many children you've been blessed with. One child needs a lot of nurturing time, hands-on care, attention. Another child seems independent, and quite so from birth. Mom will report, you know, that child just didn't reach out for my help, didn't stop and sort of demand my attention very often. Sometimes, but not very often. So how do you be enough, Mom? Let me get into that question if you've got more than one child. How do you discern what this child needs and what this child needs? There is an answer in the words we just read. It's in verse 30. God. Which makes parenting a very holy thing. Isn't that what he says in verse 30? Charm's deceitful beauty is fleeting, but a woman who is vertically focused, fears the Lord, who draws her discernment from above, who says as she aches in prayer for her children, God, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to help this child. But you do. I love that the Bible is so full of ready resource for moms in the enormously complex task that you have. If you think about it, it's very huge. 2 Corinthians 3:5 is a scripture I pray every time I get ready to preach and present God's word to people. Do you know what it says? Because it says it this way for preachers and for mothers too, and everybody in between. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy comes from God. So God gave you that baby and you say, I don't know what to do. Now that baby's a teenager. I'm even more so, I don't know what to do. No one knows what to do. Sometimes for it gets complicated. But he's the source of adequacy, isn't he? And he says wonderful words in Philippians 4:13 that he will supply all of your strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like stepping up to a plate, if I can borrow an analogy of baseball. And you know this pitcher's good. And you're not sure if you're going to embarrass yourself. You fear you will. You fear you just don't have what it takes to swing and hold your place at the plate. And yet, you know, the Bible says to you, you don't have to, but I will supply you with the strength that you need when it comes to parenting your child. Philippians 4:13. And how many moms, with a show of hands, have ever felt exhausted? Okay. Then for you, God had these words in mind, I think. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness, Mom. Most gladly I'd rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am well content in my weakness, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, challenges for Christ's sake. For mom, when you are weak, how does it finish? Then you are strong through Christ. Wonderful promises. My mother has three children. I'm the youngest and least demanding of the three. There's a reason for the expression, three, finally. All right? Now, perhaps it's obvious, I was a rather challenging child. I 2 weeks ago, went to visit Debbie at her at the middle school that she's a secretary at. And when I arrived, I brought her a latte and was just going to flirt with the help. She had to go and relieve one of the teachers who she gave a break to in ISS. How many know what ISS is? Okay, for the rest that don't, it means in-school suspension. Okay? And I got all excited when she said, I got to go to ISS. I thought, wow, this is homecoming for me, you know? This is a big moment, you know? Folks, I spent a ton of time in timeout. Yeah, I really did. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, that's not hard to believe at all. But here's the deal. My mother could have and sometimes did take it personally. She's told me that. She said, you know, there were times I just thought, man, it's my fault. It's my fault that you're fouled up. You know? It's my fault that you're in jail. No, I never went to jail. Okay, relax. But you get the idea that you're heading there, you know? I mean, my parents were told he's going to be a policeman, a politician, a preacher, or a prisoner. That's what they were told along the way. So, you know, my mother took it personally along the way at various stages. She thought to herself, you know, what am I not doing right? Where did I fail? Mom, am I getting close to some of the feelings you've had? Not chronic, maybe, but occasionally. Imagine with me for a minute a perfect family. Okay? Let's break it down. Perfect parent. Okay? Perfect children. Raised in a perfect environment. It's just a wonderful, wonderful family that I'm describing to you. And then the day comes when the child in that environment grows up and does the unthinkable. They choose imperfect. Worse, they completely reject their parents. They don't just slightly leave the path, they wildly wander, forgetting even the way to get back home. Now I have a question for you. Listen very carefully. Where did God go wrong? How did the first parent fail? He didn't, of course. But his kids, there are two mentioned, Adam and Eve, both chose their own way in spite of a perfect parent. May I gently admonish you, moms, this morning, to carry out your calling that we've read about here of nurturing. To carry that out, one thing that will not help you is to compare yourself to other moms. And there's a reason for that. Other moms are not your standard. Going there is a losing game. It will lead you to pride, a feeling of superiority, or it will lead you to depression, defeat, and a feeling of inferiority. Do you know perfect kids, Mom? Do you know perfect kids? Sure you do. And what good has it done for you to notice? I suspect not a whole lot. Why? Because it will leave you doing little more than feeling defeated as a mom. Ask my mother when it comes to her challenging third child. In comparison, if I may speak to a subset of moms in our gathering this morning, comparison is particularly toxic to single moms, single parents. How do you do all that you do? No one will ever know. But there is an answer. How do you be the parent that you didn't want this? I don't know, it's really rare to find somebody that says, you know, I really wanted to be just a single parent. That's all I started out wanting. doesn't that's not how it goes. You want to be in a partnership, have babies and raise them and raise perfect kids, right? Somewhere along the way, it went south, and it ended in a painful change, putting you in a position to do it on your own now. How do you do single parenting on your own? Well, the truth is you do it with help. You do it with God's help, and the delivery system that God uses is His people. Right here at Grace Point, for example. It's really true. If you're a single mom this morning and your son doesn't have a dad that's dialed in or particularly available or attentive, but your son loves fishing and you find worms icky. All right? Here's a suggestion to you. This church is full of fishermen. There's so many men here who love to fish, women too, but there's my suggestion to you is call Jim Wilson on our staff, loves to fish. Call John Hurt, connected to all the fishermen, fishing derby. See? How can you be the dad in your child's life, mom, if you're doing it alone? You reach out to others that can help you with that. Take sports. You don't know a soccer ball from a softball. It's just not your thing. There are plenty of people who love sport right here at Grace Point and would love to help your child learn the game. Don't forget, married or single moms, God is your source for successful nurturing. I wrote this statement down this week. I hope you'll write this down too. God is very fond of your children. He really is. And He wants to be their Heavenly Father. And the first and best view that they will get of Him is you. You may be at a stage in your life, Mom, where most of your mothering, most of your opportunity to nurture happened a long time ago. Your child's now an adult and on their own, or at least they should be on their own. But you would be incorrect to assume that your nurture is no longer needed, Mom. I'm talking now to grandmas and great-grandmas, right? It takes a different form today, looks differently. But your child badly needs to know, your adult child needs to know that you still believe in them. They need to know that you are still incredibly proud of them. And they need to know that you pray for them all the time. I may not have you right there with me. I certainly don't have you like I used to have you. But boy, I want you to know something, son or daughter, how incredibly proud I am of you. How much I pray for you all the time. You can do this, Mom. I'm confident that you can. There's a home improvement chain that has an ad campaign that I want to close with. It's a good motto for moms this morning. And and I encourage you, Mom, to speak it to your children daily. Whether they're under your roof and in your nurturing hands-on care or grown and gone, that you speak this in some form. Maybe it's to God in prayer. Maybe it's directly to them, sending them a note. Or in some fashion, Mom, continue the work of nurturing with these words to your child. You can do this. And I can help. I can help. How can I pray for you? And don't forget, Mom, as you provide this kind of nurture to your children, God says the same to you. you, Mom, you can do this. I can and I will help. And the God that says stuff like that to you, Mom, today, is the God that made promises, audacious, incredibly astounding promises, like, I will never, ever, ever let you go alone. I'll never let you try to pull this off, this nurturing thing, without my help. I will always, always be there for you. This morning as you leave, we have a really cool thing we want to give you. It's a bouquet of flowers, Mom, every single mom here. It's a little envelope, and in it is a bouquet of wildflower seeds. And it says on the front, thanks a bunch. And with it is a very nicely done bookmark for your devotional book or Bible. On the front it says God's promises to a woman's heart. And the featured promise is the words I just ended with. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And on the back, some really neat add-ons. Your Savior's love for you never dims. Your Savior's delight in you never fades. Your Savior's promises to you, Mom, they never fail. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Thanking you, God, today is an easy thing to do. For the idea that you put together that delivers nurture to the next generation through moms. And I thank you for the moms that are here this morning being filled up, freshly inspired with the calling, with the vision to be a nurturer. And I thank you today that you are the source of nurture. You actually describe yourself as a nursing mother gently cares for her children, so are you to your children. What an image you choose. And I pray that today moms would be lifted and affirmed, freshly anointed for the tasks that you've given them, and very much blessed and honored by the privilege that you've called them to be a nurturer. We just love you, God. We give you our concerns, even now, praying for our moms that might be struggling. We pray that you would be the God of great comfort and blessing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray.